Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lifeline Church Online. My name is Elliot. My wife, Tiffany, and I, who you met earlier, have the privilege of pastoring this group of people called Lifeline Church. I believe this one thing, and I say it every single week because I mean it every single week. You are not here by accident. No, God has been preparing a message for you, and he actually led you to be here today so that you can hear this message of hope, encouragement, and love that he's been preparing for you. He's got something ready for you today. If you believe that, say amen with me. Amen activates our faith and says, let it be done. God, let it be done. I want to receive a word from you. And that's exactly what he wants to deliver to you today. Now, before we jump into the message today, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping here. I need to thank our church for being so generous during this season. It's really blowing my mind. Truly, honestly, it is. It's blowing my mind how generous our church is being right now. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for your extreme generosity because you've been so... I know what's going on out there. I know that people are out of work, losing jobs, economy's down, unemployment's up. But I'm watching the church give like more than ever before. It's incredible to me, and it's extremely humbling for me to watch that and to be a part of that. And I wanted to say thank you, simply thank you for that. Because of that, because of your generosity, we've been able to drop joy bombs off at people's houses. We've been able to help people with their bills. By the way, if you have not filled out a connection card, you really should, because you never know when you're going to get like a birthday card or maybe a present dropped off on your doorstep or maybe just a phone call to check in on you. If we don't have your number, if we don't have your address, if you live around here, then we're not able to do things like that. So after the message is done, go ahead and go to the description. It's either above me or below me. I really don't know these things. I'm not as sharp as I used to be, I guess. But it's above me or below me. I'm not sure it's in there, but it's a connection card. Go ahead and fill that out. Even if you filled one out before, maybe your information's changed. Go ahead and click that and fill out that information, because in this season, it's so important for us to stay connected with one another. And we just want to reach out to you and let you know you're loved. And because of the generosity of this church, we've been able to do more than just checking in. We've been able to do some very real help in this time. Very real help. It's like we say, you don't give to a church, you give through a church. Because of the organization of people, that's the way God made it, is for us to be together, an organized group of people following Jesus, aka the church. And because of that, you're giving to people that you don't even know. You're giving in ways that you don't even know exist. And you're being a lifeline in your community in ways that you didn't think of before. That's the beauty of people coming together and giving through the church. And so I just like to let you know there's multiple ways that you can be generous in this season. And we never ask you to give. We just ask you to ask God. Ask God, God, what should I do? How should I be generous? How should I do that? And there's a few different ways you can do it. That should be right below me right now. I'm still very enthralled with this whole online thing. I know that lower thirds are right here. I know that slides are over here. It's fun to me. You can text the amount to 84321. You can give directly on Facebook, which, by the way, I didn't know this, but Facebook is the only online platform that you can give where, let's say, you give $100 and we actually receive the $100. Every single other place in the world takes little fees out. Facebook doesn't do that. I don't know how, but they eat that cost. And so I would seriously, it's cheaper than checks because you have to pay for your checks. And so Facebook, it's crazy. Hit the donate button. That's literally the best way to do it. And then, of course, there's the address. You can mail your stuff in there. Whatever you decide to do or not do, we're so grateful for your generosity during this time. Now, one more thing, last little bit of updates here. I want to encourage you to go to our website and join a Zoom group. Oh, my goodness. These Zoom groups are going so well. The reports are coming in. We have like 8 Zoom groups. They're all packed out. We might need to create more. And they're so life-giving. They're so good. It's so much opportunity for people to get in touch with each other, to hear a Bible study, hear a devotional, and just stay connected in this season. Like I said, it's so important. So go on to our website, find Join a Group, and click that thing and join a Zoom group. It's so easy. You can do it. And there's a new group that's starting today at 6:15. Growth Track. What? That's right. Growth Track is back. If you would like to learn more about our church, join the team, and become a member here, you can totally do that. Not meeting in person? Who cares? Growth Track is happening, and it's happening tonight at 6:15, and it's on a Zoom call. It's going to be so much fun. Go to the website, and it's where you find our groups. And so it's just like a group. Go on the website, click join a group, and you'll see Growth Track right there. Hey, and you might be wondering, hey, I want to, you know, go through Growth Track, but what are teams actually serving right now? Yeah, we only have really three teams. We have tech. Come on, give it up for tech. They're out there celebrating themselves right now. Yeah, that's right, tech, social distancing in place. We've got tech, the social media and technology. We've got outreach, and we've got pastoral care. So whatever team you sign up for, you're actually going to land in one of those three. But it's cool, man. We'll do whatever. Man, you can't persecute the church. Go ahead. We're just going to grow. Look at history. Look at the Bible. Man, whatever we face as a church, all we need to do is keep moving forward, and this thing is going to be all right. We keep following Jesus. Now, we're in this series called Frequently Asked Questions to answer your most frequently asked questions. Okay, it's pretty clear. And I have a question for you. Have you ever wondered what happens when you die? Of course you have. Because every single human being on the face of the planet has wondered at one point or another, I wonder what happens, but we don't ever say anything because it's a little scary. It forces us to think about things we'd rather not think about. But let me just tell you, it's one of the most commonly, frequently asked questions that we receive. Questions like, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? What's the difference? What's going on? And maybe you're a Christian and you know there's a heaven and a hell, but you're not quite sure what those things are like. Well, today it's my pleasure to answer this frequently asked questions and to introduce this question. I'd like to just introduce you to someone from our church on a Zoom call.
Hello, brother. Hello. So could you go ahead, just before we get started, could you go ahead and introduce yourself to the church?
Yeah, my name's Derek. My wife is Madonna. We've been coming to Lifeline, I think, since about October of 19. I come with my three sons, Elias, Devin, and Jaden. I do have two adult sons, which I wish we'd go to church too, but they're adults, so that's how that works out. I serve a youth ministry. My wife serves as a greeter in the house, so we love it there, and can't wait till this is all over so we get back over there.
I know. This is so weird to be doing Zoom meetings and doing all this for Sunday morning. But, hey, it's a blessing that we're able to do it too. So it's really cool. I got to tell you, man, Tiffany and I have just been so blessed since you guys started coming. And, you know, you bring such confidence and joy to everybody who's around you, which leads me kind of to how this question came about. It came about because of a group that you were a part of and leading. Would you go ahead and introduce the question of the week to us?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, we have a men's group that we hold. And we were just in a conversation, and one of our members had a question of, what is it like at the moment when we die? Mm. And we jumped into some scripture right away, and there was a lot of different scripture we were referring to, and kind of just led to a lot more questions that we had and trying to grasp a solid answer to that question, which we couldn't obviously come up with that night. It's a pretty complex question, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have that same question. There's a lot of scripture to go over regarding it, so I'm sure we would all appreciate if you elaborate on that.
You know what? I'm going to be happy to do so. Even though you're an Astros fan, I'm still going to go ahead and indulge the answer to that question. As a Dodger fan, I just am not able to look at your face right now. But, you know, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let my Christian side come out. I'm going to let that go. You know what we're going to do? We're going to dive into that topic. We're going to dive into this topic of heaven, hell, and the afterlife. We're going to do it right now.
Awesome.
So the question for the day is, Is there a heaven, a hell, and the afterlife? Heaven, hell, and the afterlife. That's the title of this message. And it's like on everybody's mind, especially during these times when people are passing away. It's crossing our minds, but sometimes it's awkward to ask that question. So I'm going to answer all the questions I can think of in relationship to this. You understand the who, what, when, where, why, how. I'm just going to go through this. This will not be exhaustive on the subject. It would be really hard to do that. But I'm going to attempt to hit the basics and hit the fundamentals about heaven, hell, and the afterlife. Let's start with what is waiting in the afterlife. Let's just start ground zero. I have no idea about Christianity, no idea about God. Is there an afterlife? And if there is, what is waiting there? And I, as a Christian pastor, I'm here to tell you the truth. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Jesus tells a story about sheep and goats, and it's one of the most mind-blowing scriptures that I've had the privilege of reading and trying to understand. But the story goes a little like this. There's a group of people, and Jesus is saying in the judgment, he's saying, all of you, this group right here, go on this side of me, because I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. And I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. And I was in prison, but you didn't come visit me. And all these people on this side, they say, well, we didn't see you. We didn't see you hungry. We didn't see you thirsty. We didn't see you in prison. And he said, ah, but when you looked over the least of these, you were actually looking over me, passing me by. And then there's another group. And he says, ah, this group right here, you go on this side of me. And he said, ah, you're like the sheep. And because when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. And this group of people asked the same question. They said, we've never seen you there. What are you talking about? We've never seen you in prison. We've never seen you hungry or thirsty. And he says the same response. When you did it for the least of these, you were doing it unto me. Based on what translation you're reading, something just like that. But then here's this passage right here. There's these two groups. They've been judged. It's the end times. And there's a judgment happening. There's a judgment happening. And this is the passage right here in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 46. And they will go away into eternal punishment, the one side, and the righteous will go to eternal life. I want you to notice that. Eternal punishment, eternal life. Either or. Now, I'm a man who, I understand gray area. I understand that in some places in life and in some situations, we can't always be black and white about everything. But I'll tell you this, there are certain places in life that we have to be black and white because there is no gray area. And one of those places is right here. There's only two kingdoms. There's only two spiritual worlds. There's the kingdom of heaven and there's the kingdom of hell. There's heaven and there's hell. There is no middle ground. If the Bible is your authority, if you're considering making the Bible your authority and God being truth for you, then you have to come to the conclusion that it's one or the other. So what is waiting in the afterlife? It's one or the other. I don't know if some of you might know this song. I'm actually going to age myself a little bit. There's this song that says, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. I'm so old. I'm sorry. So everybody under 30 was like, what is this old man saying right there? But it's true. We have to decide one or the other, and choosing to not decide where we're going to land in that. And we're going to talk about how to get there. But absolving ourselves from the responsibility of choosing is what we're going to spend some time talking about. The next question is this. Who does the afterlife apply to? Who does the afterlife apply to? And let me just tell you the answer. Every man, woman, and child. Every single one of us. It applies to everybody. To everybody. The Apostle Paul wrote this in the scriptures about those who chose to live for themselves. So this would be referring to that first group. He wrote this in Philippians 3. Read along with me. They think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own. Man, that sounds good. Using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Now, let me tell you something. That's good news for everybody. Because in this kingdom, being a citizen of heaven, there's no waiting period. Okay? There's no test on the Constitution. You know, if you want to be a citizen of heaven, that is your choice to make. There's no waiting period. There's no written exam. All who call upon Jesus as their Savior and look not to the things of this world have heaven to look forward to. And you can call yourself a citizen of heaven. That's beautiful to me. I love that. I love the Bible. I love his word. I love the goodness of God and the grace of God that draws us to repentance. It's those sweet moments right there where we don't have to, you know, pass some tests and we go through some ritual and, you know, walk into church and people look at you up and down going, no, we're not going to let you in. There's nothing like that. No, that choice is for that's between us and the Lord, and to say, hey, God, I want to come to you. And we're going to talk about that. It's coming right now. The next question is this: when will I go? When will I go? Oh, the age old question. The age old question. When am I going to enter into this afterlife? When am I going to heaven? When am I going to what? What's, can you give me some timelines here? Now, listen to this. It's very clear. No one knows the day or the hour. No one knows the day or the hour, and no one knows their day or hour. And I say that very specifically because there's a day and hour, the day and hour, and then there's our day and hour. The day and hour refers to the world because there's going to be an end for the world, you know. But then there's also going to be an end to us. Every one of us has to go sometime. Has to go sometime. And the answer to when is not known. Listen to this in Matthew 24, check this out. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near. Talking about the return of Jesus. Right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Verse 36, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. Now, this is end time stuff. And if you're interested in any of that and you've ever wondered or looked around the world right now and thought, what's going on around here? Is it almost time? I'm not sure. It seems like something might be going on. If you've ever thought that, tune in next week. Tune in next week because that's exactly what we're going to be talking about next week is the end times. Are we in them? How do we notice them? What do we do to be ready for that? What is our role in this? Don't miss next week. Don't miss next week. End times. It's going to be amazing. It applies, but it also, this phrase, this scripture applies to our own day and hour. We don't know when we're going to go. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Like we all are aware that we don't know. I could go out there and 18-wheeler, man, I'm done. You just never, ever really know. No one knows. That's why it's so important to stay ready at all times. Now I'm ready right now, and I've been close to death when I wasn't ready. There's actually a newspaper clip that I'm going to put up right here, brother. Why don't you go ahead and put up that newspaper clip, and I'm going to let you guys read this. But let me just summarize this, or I'll leave it up there so you can read it, and maybe you just want to listen to me right now. But actually, I was in a situation where I was hovering over about 200 feet. Of guardrail over the 10th Street Bridge in Marysville. The newspaper article reads that Caltrans had to replace 30 feet of guardrail. This clip that you're looking at right now, this newspaper clip, my mom sent this to me. Oops. She sent this to me a couple months ago, actually. She saved this clip. She texted it to me and said, hey, honey. Glad you're alive. Love you. And I blanked out the names of the people that were in there, but one of my friends got airlifted to UC Davis. We were this close. The guardrail was gone. The only thing separating us from certain death. And let me just tell you, I wasn't ready. And now, as a little bit older and a little bit wiser, I know it's important for me to always be ready. To always be ready. Because if you are ready, you don't have to get ready. You understand? If you just stay ready, I hear a lot of people, man, we need to get ready, you know, for the end times or whatever. That's what people usually talk about. And I'm like, why do I need to get ready if I just stay ready? Let's just stay ready. It's like one of these guys right here. You see that? This is actually my son's alarm clock. It makes this sound. Nothing like my alarm clock, which sings little tweets to me. Feels like I'm waking up on a tropical island somewhere. I like those kinds of alarms. These kinds of alarms are very annoying, but I'll be honest with you, it doesn't even wake him up. But let me tell you something about alarms and little wake-up calls. We would all like to be ready all the time and to just wake up exactly when we need to, but that's the fallacy. We always think we're gonna wake up when we need to. We always think, you know, oh, I'll be ready. But it's nice to have a wake-up call sometimes to remind us, to wake us up when we need to. Come on, how many of you have just turned your alarm off in this season? Don't raise your hand. Don't out yourself on social media. Don't out yourself on YouTube, all right? If you haven't listened to an alarm clock in a long time, I understand you. I understand how you're feeling. Stay woke. Oh, I went there. Stay woke, Lodi. Stay woke, Stockton. Stay woke. Stay aware. Keep that alarm, you know, set an alarm regularly. I'm speaking figuratively. Remind yourself, today could be my day. Am I where I want to be in my life? Are my relationships where I want them to be? Is my relationship with God where I want it to be? If it's not, beep, 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 beep. Let this be a wake-up call to you to get some things right that may not be right. Next question is this: why? Why is this God's plan? Why is this his way? Why does it have to be this way? I mean, why not everybody just go to the same place and not have to worry about, you know, how to get there? Now listen, God gives us the choice. God gives us the choice. It's in his nature not to force things on us. Listen, he did not force Noah to build a boat. He commanded Noah and Noah obeyed. He did not force me to give my life to him. No, I chose that. This is God's nature to give us choice. We talked about this a lot last week. It's God's nature to give us choice. Have you ever seen the show The Good Place? Tiffany and I watched a couple episodes of that and then we stopped because it was really silly. I mean, I'm not endorsing it or giving it up, but I'm just telling you. It's a funny show because it actually kind of speaks to what society thinks about the afterlife. It's basically built on an algorithm that weighs your good and bad deeds. That makes sense to us, but that's not God's way. God's way is no, I lay before you the choice of life and death. You can choose. It's like God knows, you're gonna make mistakes. Your good may outweigh your bad. I mean, because if it's based on how good we do, we wake up some mornings thinking, I'm not enough. He sets before us life and death. Listen to this, I'm going way back now, Deuteronomy 30, listen to this. God says, now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. It's not an algorithm. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. Verse 19. Today, he says it again, I've given you the choice. It's a choice. It's a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. And listen to his heart here. Oh, that you would, I want you to choose life. I hope you do. I want you to, but the choice is yours, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. It's not an algorithm. It's not based on weighing. It's not a scale, okay? It's not like, well, you know, he did this 103 good deeds, but 102 bad deeds. Oh, good, going to heaven. No, that's not the way it works. It's a choice that we make. It starts with that choice. And what it looks like is this. I've actually got a little illustration for you. I've got this jacket right here. This jacket right here represents kind of the nature that we're born with, all right? It's a nice looking jacket. It feels good on me. It's actually very comfortable. If anything, I'd definitely say it's the more comfortable of the two jackets I'm going to show you today. But this is our resting state. You know, it looks good on me. You know, I feel good. It's nice. I like it. But God says, I'm giving you a choice. I'm giving you a choice. And this choice that you make to follow me should be followed by action. See, we think that making a decision like lives up here, but when the decision manifests, it manifests out here with the decisions I make, with the course corrections. God is saying, I'm giving you the choice to take your old life off and cast it aside. And I'm giving you a new garment. Get out of here. I'm giving you a new garment. I'm giving you something that I've tailored to you. Now, this one, I'll be honest, sometimes it's not as comfortable. But let me tell you, it fits on me, and I feel good in it. It's the decision has to be followed by discarding the old and putting on the new. God says, I'm laying before you the choice, life or death, blessing or curses, prosperity or disaster. Now, don't just say you want what's good. Take off the old and put on what I'm giving you. We need to clothe ourselves in Christ. Clothe ourselves in Christ Jesus and actually let him reside on us, in us. And that's an action that we put on. But I can't preach the rest of this message with this jacket on. I just can't. I'm sorry. You know, it would be really great for an illustration, but it's, oh, that's nice. I like that a lot better. The choice that we're given leads to life change. Have you heard that statement? There's two frogs sitting on a log and one of them decided to jump off. How many were left on the log? Two. Because the decision needs to be followed with action. And for this, there's nothing I can think of that'd be more important for us to say, no, God, I'm choosing you. But that should be followed with action. It's not based on my works, but I'm giving you my life, and that's followed with action. You see what I mean? So it's a beautiful opportunity that we have. The last question is this. How do I get there? All right, Pastor. You talked me into it. You know, I'm listening. I'm ready to listen to, okay, what do I need to do then? It's a choice, you say. All right, well, what do I need to choose to do? Like, what does that mean? Please tell me. How do I know that's where I'm going? How do I know I'm secure? How do I know heaven is in my future? How can I live fearlessly? And I can tell you this, as a man who's faced death myself, today, this moment, I do not fear death. I absolutely do not. I've faced death before, quite literally, more than once. But today, and I've told my wife about this, hey, when I die, you're throwing me a party. There's going to be a jazz band. They're going to be singing. There's going to be standing tables. No crying. These guys over here recording this are looking at me like, you crazy. They're chill. They got the sign. They're holding up chill. I'm serious, though. I'm ready. To be quite honest, I'm ready. You take me anytime. Because if when you're in Christ, to die is gain. To die is gain. Now, that's something that, if that doesn't draw you into a life in Christ, I don't know what will. To die is gain. How do I get there? How do I know? How can I be sure? I want to introduce you to a scripture you probably already know. Because it's one of the most famous scriptures in all time. Some of the most famous words ever spoken. Famous words ever written. Written in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. It says this. Jesus says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now, I need to tell you something about that word believes. Because you know the devil believes in God too. Demons believe in him. I mean, you can acknowledge his existence, but still turn away. But that's an English failing. This Greek word, this what it means is to believe to the point of putting complete and utter trust and confidence in someone. A belief, a choice that leads to life change, that leads to action, that leads me to say, all right, whatever you say, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Whoever fully, totally, it's a verb, action word. That is a verb, whoever believes. I'm not talking about the English word, I'm talking about the original. It's a verb, it's action. Whoever believes in him, whoever takes the step of believing, it says, okay, God, I trust you. Never make the mistake of thinking you have to be good enough to go to heaven. Do not ever make that mistake. Don't do it. With other religions, that's true. With other religions, yeah, you better do exactly what you need to do. And I don't even want to mention some of the things you have to do to go to some of these other heavens, but Christianity, our God, is the only one that has a system set up where it's not mark by mark works that get you to heaven. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. It's only by the sacrifice of God. Jesus Christ dying on that cross and being raised to life again, and us putting our faith in him, our trust in him. That's how we get there, period. There's only one question. What did you do with Jesus? That's the only question. Not how much did you give? Not how much did you serve? Not how many good deeds? Listen, I'm a pastor of a church. I have everything to gain from telling you those are the things. But I'm only going to tell you the truth. Putting your faith in Christ will lead to those things. But only putting your faith in Jesus is what gets you to heaven. Only. You know, we believe very strongly here. I believe very strongly, and we as a church believe very strongly. You know what? We're going to offer people Jesus. We're going to let people know the truth that if you come to Jesus, he does the hard work. You give your life to him fully, honestly, just truly in your heart. Give your life to him. He does the heavy lifting. Our lives will change. Our actions will change. And even if we stumble and fall, we need only to put our faith in him, our heart to him, give our heart with the integrity of our heart. I remember giving my life to Jesus. It was a little lackluster, anticlimactic, I would say. There was no lights. There was no bells. There was no whistles. There was no confetti. Where was the confetti? I was just in this moment. I was in this little church in a recovery center, and I was listening to this preacher, And something so strong was stirring in my heart, I could not avoid it anymore. And maybe some of you are feeling that too. I tried to reason it away. I tried to use logic and I tried to rationalize, you know, maybe the air conditioning's on too cold. That's why I'm feeling like shaky. But my heart was just leaping out of my chest. Something was about this Jesus. And I couldn't explain it. And you know what? To be honest, I still can't fully explain it. But something was leaping out of me. Say, you know what? This preacher is telling you the truth. The words that he's speaking out of this Bible are true words. No lights, no bells, just a simple decision. And that's what I did. And my course went like this. You know, and it's like an airplane, you know. You put it off 1 degree, and the longer you're on that course, the further off you go. But in the positive context, it also works. I just changed my thinking. Repented. Change your thinking. And I went the other way. And the longer I stay on this path, the further out in left field I go. The further out for Jesus I go. But in the beginning, you know, I was just like anybody. I didn't understand. I didn't know. But that's the beauty. God is not looking for our perfection. It reminds me of a story from the Bible. Story of a thief on a cross. And if I have a favorite scripture about heaven and hell, it's this story right here. This thief says to Jesus, hanging next to him, moments before they died in Luke 23. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. And that's really good news, everybody. That means we can be thieves, drunkards, prideful, lustful. But in our moment of clarity, looking Jesus face to face, and maybe this moment is for you. I don't know where you're sitting. I don't know where you're standing. You might be in the bathroom right now. I don't know. You got church online. But you're listening to these words and you're feeling the same way this thief feels. You're feeling the same way I felt. There's something about this I cannot ignore anymore. My heart is leaping out of my chest. There's this something I can't shake anymore. And the moment this thief cried out to Jesus, what did he say? Paradise. How can I describe heaven to you? Why not just let Jesus describe it? Paradise. Listen, everybody, don't miss this opportunity. Is your alarm clock going off? Is there an alarm clock going off in your heart right now? We're going to pray in a moment, and I'm going to ask you to pray along with me. And just a simple prayer. No matter how good or bad you think you are, this prayer is for you if you're ready to give your life to Jesus. If you're ready to say, God, do with me as you will. Father, I just pray right now. And we give our lives to you. You know what? Just repeat it after me. Father, I give my life to you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on a cross for my sins. Fill me with your spirit and make me new. Amen. Come on, everybody. Can we celebrate those people that are making that decision, possibly all over the world? We do not know, but I'll tell you this, in heaven, they are celebrating for you. because God has been waiting. And I, like I said at the beginning of this message, he's been preparing this moment for you. So I would encourage you, everybody, if you made that decision or if you're recommitting your life to Jesus right now, I would want to remind you to sign up for a life group. It's one of the most important things that we talk about here, because as soon as you give your life to Jesus, one of the first things that you need to do is begin to have some Christian friends in your life. We need to begin to surround ourselves with people that love us with the same faith that we're walking into. We need that. And our roots can't grow down into God's love without that kind of support system. I want to encourage you, go onto the website, click the link in the description above, below. I don't know where it is. Find it. It's important. Get on a Zoom group. It's going to be so awesome. The reports are going so well. You're going to love one of these groups. And just lastly, I want to thank you again for all of your extreme generosity that has allowed us to do so much for the community. We don't tell people to give. We just tell people to ask what they should, ask God what they should do, the ways to do. You can text, you can donate button, Facebook. You can go on the website and you can mail it. Hey, let me pray a blessing over you before we go. Father, I pray blessing over these folks. Lord, I pray blessing over their health, over their finances, over their relationships, Lord. Even though we are separated in contact, Lord, we are united in spirit. Lord, I pray this blessing in Jesus' name over them. Amen. God bless you, and we will see you again very soon.